Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Back to Business. I'm Rob Davidson.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. You may know me as the owner-operator of a local chain of shoe stores, Alan Shoes.
We're here today. We're committed to helping business get back to business. That's our purpose for this show, to help all of us get back to business. It's been a long, long 6-8 weeks for many of us, and we have a lot of ideas, and hopefully we can help a lot of people out.
This show, Back to Business with Robin Allen, is about mustering up the energy, the excitement, the will, and the attitude. Take the bulls by the horn and getting Southern Arizona business up and running again. Yes, we know it's strange. We know it's hard. There's a little fear. We're all embarking on something strange. Therefore, it's difficult and complicated. We're going to try and help you through it. Going to be discussing the latest news pertinent to this subject and also interviewing leaders in our community each week that will share with you their experience, their knowledge, and their stories of struggles and success. Rob, can you introduce our guest?
Yes, we're really excited today. Our first guest for Back to Business is Barbara Coffey. She's Director of Economic Initiatives at the City of Tucson. I'd like to give you a little background into Barbara. She's served more than 23 years of experience in economic development and downtown redevelopment. As the Economic Initiatives Director for the City of Tucson, she leads business attraction, retention, expansion, and small business and entrepreneurial development for the city. She's helped communities across Texas and Arizona revitalize their downtown areas and aging commercial districts. Her grassroots community-driven approach has helped cities engage residents, merchants, public officials, and future investors in the creation of downtown plans with broad-based support. In addition, her experience with business attraction and retention programs has been recognized in Goodyear, Arizona, where she was responsible for more than 3 million square feet of commercial development. Ms. Coffey has served as the International Council of Shopping Centers State Alliance co-chair for Arizona, New Mexico, and Georgia, as Director of Economic Development in College Park, Georgia. She assisted in the formation of the first community improvement district surrounding Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport and assisted the creation of the city's first Entrepreneurial Development Center. It's our pleasure to have Barbara with us today. Barbara, thank you so much for joining us on Back to Business.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks, Rob, for having me, and I'm real excited about this program, this conversation that you're starting. I think it's obviously an important one and certainly very timely, and we've got a lot of work to do for sure.
Yes, we do. Barbara, it seems like every day or so or two, I get an email from you about webinars that you've put together for businesses in Tucson. Maybe you can talk about some of these initiatives.
Absolutely. We have we've tried to pivot and respond quickly. And you're right. You've mentioned 7 or 8 weeks ago. Actually, on Monday, it will be 8 weeks that we've had our weekly webinar. We decided to roll that out really quickly on the heels of the announcement of shelter in place and things like that that we were beginning to experience with the pandemic. And we knew that businesses still were going to need a way to connect in and to stay in communication with all the questions and concerns that they would have in the ensuing weeks. And so we've had great conversations, more than 80 to 100 people each week on this webinar that we host for small business navigating the impacts of COVID-19. And so we do those on Monday at 3 o'clock. But, you know, I think that one of the things we started to say early on was it's important to stay connected, even in this period of somewhat isolation that we've found ourselves in. It was very important to continue to talk together, not go through this alone. And I think that still rings true.
Now, many of us have heard about all these programs that the government has come up with, the Paycheck Protection Plan and this and that, the CARES Act. I know the city has some financial plans for people. Maybe you could talk about some of those.
Yes, we are trying to bring as many resources to small business as we possibly can. And some of the federal programs through the SBA Emergency Injury Disaster Loan Program and the Payroll Protection Plan were some of the very first financial assistance opportunities. And so the city council, when we took a look at how could we make sure that Tucson businesses would get their access and their share of opportunity there, it seemed only natural to want to continue to allocate additional funds so that we had the lending capacity here locally to handle that. And that's what we did. Mayor and council authorized $1 million through our partnership with Business Development Finance Corporation that handles our small business loan programs. They've done that for over 30 years. We saw a quick opportunity to put those funds to work to small business loans. And some were able to take advantage of the PPP program. And then now we have the direct loan program, and we have applications open for that through May 26th at midnight. So small businesses are able to make application at bdfc.com and still take advantage of the small business loans.
Now, I also saw that Rio Nuevo had put some money together for similar things. Is that included in this program?
Rio Nuevo did authorize an allocation of funding support grants for businesses that are within their district, their boundaries. So that's a finite geographical area near downtown, includes downtown and portions along Broadway. So if your business is in those areas, then absolutely, you would qualify for their programs. And what we're trying to do is extend our reach citywide. So if you have received a grant of assistance already through Rio Nuevo, you would not be eligible for our direct loan program. However, one of the things I really like to make sure businesses understand is that, you know, there are a lot of programs out there. There are a lot of different options for loans and microloans. And, you know, if one doesn't fit for you or is not the right the way to go or way to pursue, then there may be something else that we can direct you to. So that's what we like to do. And we've been fielding calls through our small business hotline every day to help steer people in the right direction.
For the listeners out there, if anyone has a question for Barbara, please give us a call at 790-2040, 790-2040, if you're a business person with questions or somebody that's related to a business person. Let's give her a call if you have any questions. I'm sure she'd be happy to answer whatever ones she can. So Barbara, what other kinds of things is the city doing for small businesses? We're starting to see people opening up yesterday. I know a lot of the retailers had soft openings on Monday. I guess some of the restaurants can start opening. What's involved with this?
Well, I think we have this mindset right now of proceed with caution. That's what I've been saying. It's, you know, as consumers and as business owners, I think we're all concerned about how this reopening is going to go, you know, how the phasing will work with the new protocols in place to keep people healthy and safe, not only our employees, but our customers, our patrons of our businesses as well. Then I think, you know, we have to be cognizant of, you know, what are social distancing procedures? What does that look like in our place of business? What kind of equipment do we need now? Do we need to provide masks? Do we require customers to wear masks? There's all these questions. How often do we need to be cleaning and sanitizing? And do we have all the materials we need for that? Those are things that businesses are now faced with that is different than before. So I think it not only adds a little extra expense, but a lot of planning involved and some new protocols. So I think we're just going to be looking to support businesses as they navigate this new reality. And if there are things that we can do to lead them to resources that they might be lacking, we would be happy to. You've seen lots of creative stories about distilleries being able to make sanitizer. Things like that are happening locally as well as around the country. If we can help solve the problem, that's what we want to do. So that's where some of our focus will be in the days ahead. You know, there's also this idea of how do we, again, increase the opportunity for restaurants and bars to do the business that they are accustomed to doing before COVID-19. And, you know, things like dining out and how do we have the right amount of, you know, patio space for that? Maybe a business doesn't have the patio space. Can we make places in the public right-of-way available, and how can city government remove barriers for that to happen? We're discussing that internally, and we're going to be very flexible as we look to ways to help business get back on its feet.
That's really great, and I assume you're working with all kinds of different organizations like SCORE and the like to give people the mentoring that they might need?
Yes, we couldn't do what we do without our partners. So SBDC, our SCORE business counselors, our workforce partners, everyone is on deck and helping answer questions and bringing technical and financial assistance to the business community. So we refer a lot of our small business owners to our counselors in that regard, and we couldn't do it without them. And those are free services. I think sometimes businesses forget that there are people they can talk to that will give that free business consultation. So we're happy to arrange that. And again, our small business hotline, 837-4100, that number has been very valuable for some small businesses trying to reach our team. We have a team of small business navigators that was a vision of the mayor. She was very intent that even before COVID-19 that we had a team of folks that could respond quickly and on the ground with small business. We have 11 of us. We redeployed about 7 other city employees to take on some activity with our small business hotline, and that has served us very well.
That's great, Barbara. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030, and we're speaking with Barbara Coffey, Director of Economic Initiatives at the City of Tucson. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing, featuring our 5-crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our 5-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our 5-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Welcome back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 The Voice. We're speaking this morning with Barbara Coffey, Director of Economic Initiatives at the City of Tucson. And Barbara Allen has some questions for you. He just reopened 4 of his stores, I believe, yesterday. So I think he's got some things he'd like to discuss.
Hi, Barbara. This is Allen. Barbara, I have a question because you were talking about a similar issue that I was going to bring up. And that is, what do you suggest that a store do? Let's just take an example grocery store. And 1 or 2 people come down with and are diagnosed with COVID. What are you suggesting that they do? Are you suggesting that they close, put all their staff in quarantine? Do you have any other suggestions?
Well, those are great questions. They're tough questions, and I try not to be the authority on that, but take guidance instead from other sources, both federal, state, and local, right? So when we think about best practices, we're going to look at CDC guidelines, we're going to look at our governor's executive orders, and we're going to look at our Pima County Health Department But I think what I can say is you know, I think we do want to go forward with some caution. So maybe you have to have some assurance as the small business owner that you're taking care of your employee in the best way possible and that the rest of your team is also taken care of. And so whether that's, you know, isolating some individuals for a period of time, you have to make that call. I think that's be the challenge is getting consumers' confidence built back up. And so if you can do anything at all, I think it's going to be important to establish good messaging with your customers and your employees. But your messaging regarding, you know, what protocols are you using as a small business? How are you distancing? You've seen the grocery stores, you know, put the measures in place to mark off 6-foot boundaries, and you've seen some use of shields or plexiglass at checkout counters. You've seen good signage on the entries to the stores, and I think that's something that all of our businesses need to do, over-communicate a little bit while we're going through this.
Well, thank you for that answer. Let's take that just a little bit further a little bit. So as a small business owner, there's many businesses in the community that only have 1, 2, 3 people on staff at a time. And those are the only 3 people they have. And they're willing to close down and quarantine them if they need to, and they've been closed for a while. And what would you say if they're getting messages from consumers that are saying that it's just too early to open up?
Well, again, I think they need to share how they're moving forward with their practices on site. They need to keep options open, like the curbside pickup and takeout and delivery options. A lot of retailers beyond just restaurant and food and beverage, your general retail business has gone to that curbside pickup. And I think that as long as you have that option, then you are able to satisfy the customer that's more concerned or maybe has that health condition, underlying health condition that prevents them from being close to others right now. And I think that gives them an option, as well as then you have your other protocol for people who are ready to come in the store and do that general browsing and do that that shopping as they need to. You know, this is just going to be, I think it's going to be messy. I can't think of a different word to use. It's not something we're used to. We haven't come out of a pandemic and moved back into this reopening. This is the first time again for us. And so I think it's going to be a little messy, but I think that if we're all responsible, we can do it well.
You know, the mayor issued her her executive order before the governor did last time. And then as we're coming out of this and the governor released some of his executive orders, the mayor's, if I'm correct, hers exactly matches the governor's. There's no difference. Is that true?
Right now, that is true. I think we all tried to get into alignment on how we would move forward. And so you're correct. And I think we just continue to take each day by day. And as our mayor and council discussed and along with management, any new information, then they make new determinations at that time. But you're correct.
So when we were starting to close down mid-March and maybe the end of March with the governor's order, and we were all a little bit shocked and surprised and not really prepared. And there's some talk that this COVID virus may linger. There might be a second recurrence. There might be a fall, pandemic
right.
Thing. That are there plans at the city or the state that you know of how to work in advance now that we've gone through this first phase? How do we prepare ourselves for a second? Example would be, you know, when do we close down again? Do we tighten some measures or any plans or discussions in force for, you know, thinking about that?
We've been talking about the future, and certainly we have considered the idea that this could come back and that the virus could be a problem again in the fall. But we do not have any solid plans other than taking lessons learned from what we've just been through. And then I think what you will see us spend some time on then in the next couple of months is just that, is how do we, if we're faced with this again, what would it look like? I think that we're learning a lot about the virus, and as we continue to see how it's been operating, how it's been impacting people, I think that that will help us and it will inform those plans. So it's probably a little early to say. I think we all hope that if we do what we need to do now, that we continue to get a good hold on where we are currently, that we can mitigate some of the impacts and hopefully have a stronger summer and at least rebound, have some business rebound for the months ahead of us here, June, July, and August.
Barbara, this is Rob again. Another question. What kind of economic impact has this had so far in the city of Tucson as far as sales tax receipts go?
Well, I don't have exact numbers, but I can tell you that that it's going to be a challenge on city budgets. So, and that would be no different for Tucson as any of our other communities, other cities, and local governments. So, we're always a month or two behind, so those collections will be, they will show markedly different here in May and June. And that means, you know, lost sales tax revenue due to the closures caused by COVID-19. It will definitely hit our city budgets hard. And so we've been taking a look at how we're going to continue to do business and continue to offer the services as best we can that our citizens are accustomed to, but we're going to have to tighten our belts a good deal, and we're considering, you know, cuts in our departments up to 15%. Now, mayor and council will deliberate on that as it is budget time for the city, and we will make some decisions about that going forward. But I think you can be sure that we're going to be behaving in a more conservative manner and really have to tighten up what we're doing.
Now, is the city relaxing some of the fees and things they're charging businesses now since so many of them are closed?
Yes, we did. And early on, some of the very first measures were to, especially with Tucson Water and some of our utilities and other billing departments, we took measures early on to be able to have some relief for business. We would not be doing any shutoffs or turnoffs. And we would not be charging late fees and things like that. So I think early on you saw some quick reaction there, because we knew that with closures and shutdowns and people out of work left and right, that bills were going to need to be required some relief. And so we were first to do that. Many communities have done that. Many utilities have done that. TEP followed suit. So there is a lot of attention to how do we get businesses and individuals, workers and families through these weeks where they've seen a diminished amount of income to their families.
Barbara, maybe you could give our listeners some information on how they can reach you for questions and help and any of the other resources that you might be able to offer them.
Yes, there's a couple great ways, and I would point you first to our website. We actually, our economic initiatives team rolled out a brand new economic development website just before COVID-19. By the end of February, we had connecttucson.com live, and that is a place where small businesses can go. And now on our homepage, you'll see a variety of resources COVID-related that could steer people to the things we've been talking about, federal, state, and local resources, the partners that I mentioned earlier with SBDC and SCORE Counseling. You'll find the weekly webinars, the recordings of those there, where you can view any of our past shows, and there have been some great discussions. So that, I would say, connecttucson.com. Then you can call us also, our small business hotline, 520-837-4100. That is a great way to get in touch with us, to get questions answered, just to talk through your individual situation and circumstances so that we can guide you and direct you as best we can. That would be the best way. And then, of course, any of those ways offer email connections. In connecttucson.com on the homepage, if you scroll to the bottom, you can also sign up to receive our email newsletters and updates and webinar invitations. All of those things would come to you if you put your email address there for us. And so that would be, I think, your best bet.
Barbara, thank you so much for being with us today on our first show. The information you've given us is really, really helpful for all of the folks out there that are struggling and trying to get back to business. And I hope that you'll be back with us again soon. I'll be calling you because we can certainly use the help from the city. And we're really appreciative of everything that you're doing to help us all get back to business. And welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising, a local advertising agency here in Tucson.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes.
Alan, why don't we talk about Alan Shoes for a moment, please?
Well, Alan Shoes, well, I can talk about it because I know about it. For over 37 years, we've become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Alan Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wokey, Propay, and many, many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selections of wide widths is the best in the area. Now the governor has started to allow retail business to resume, and the staff at Alan Shoes is proud to announce the reopening of our four Tucson stores. You've seen our Alan Shoes store on the east side at 5632 East Speedway, about two blocks east of Craycroft. Our senior store manager, Sandra, and assistant manager, Dave, and their crew are experienced, and they're happy to provide you with great service. Many of our customers love Alan Shoes' Northwest Side store at 6030 North Oracle Road, which is at Rudisill. Our store manager, Chris, and assistant manager, Jessica, and their fellow staff members want to greet and see you today. And we also have another location up the block on Oracle. Shoe District focuses on athletic shoes in medium-wide and extra-wide widths. Wide Width by Alan Shoes focuses on wide and extra-wide widths of men's and women's shoes, the best selection of wide widths in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location aren't even carried in our other stores, Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. You'll find us on Oracle Road, a block north of Ina. Our store manager, Christian, and assistant manager, Tyler, are eager to serve. In February, we opened a new store, our Alan Shoes store at Irvington and I-19 in the Tucson Spectrum Shopping Center. We're located next to Peter Piper Pizza. Our store manager, Corey, and assistant manager, Alex, are happy to be open again. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Alan Shoes promise. Our staff is retrained. They're eager to serve you in any way you feel comfortable. We hope you'll agree that their stores are spacious enough for you to shop comfortably and safely. If you prefer, we can serve you at curbside, or we can serve you on our website and ship to your home for free. Alan Shoes is proud to feature and serve the Tucson community, and we have the comfort you want and the service you deserve.
And to give you a little background about Alan and myself, I'm a native Tucsonan, born and raised. Alan, you've been here forever. You started your stores a long time ago. And one of the reasons we're doing this show is to help our fellow business people get back to business. This has been an unprecedented time for all of us. We're dealing with a playbook that none of us has ever seen before or even thought about. And so we want to be here to help, give you some ideas. If you need some advice from us, feel free to call us anytime off the air. I'm available every day. You can call my office, go to my website, davidsonadsaz.com, and contact us if you have any ideas you'd like to run by us for getting your business back to business. One of the things that's very appropriate today is, Alan, you opened your four stores yesterday that have been closed so long. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about what's involved in starting from scratch again after being closed for almost 8 weeks?
Well, I got to tell you that I employed early on a technique that I've been taught over many years with service to the National Shoe Retailers Board of Directors. And we started to have conference calls with each other, and we've been sharing best practices, and we formed study groups on what's going on with the CARES Act, the the PPP loan program, the EIDL loan program, other SBA loan programs, and board of director members talked to each other and reached out to general board members and shared ideas and shared with them what we discussed. And this is all around the topic of peer business networking or peer groups. And I'm going to suggest that you go and, if you haven't already, and if you're a business owner, find other people that are at your level, can talk to you. You have the same similar issues, and you can discuss, you know, what you need to do. What we found out was that we were going to make sure we had enough masks, enough gloves, other things, disinfectant and sanitizer for the stores. And we've been cleaning our stores, and we've been retaking inventory, and we've been balancing our inventory, and we've been very respective and cautionary about our staff. If there's any staff member that gave us any reason that you know they were not comfortable coming back, we did not push the subject. So we don't have all of our staff members back, but we don't want to push anyone into an uncomfortable position. That's one of the reasons that we're offering curbside delivery or shipping to customers' homes for free. We these are some of the tactics and strategies we put into place, and we're going to adjust every single day if we need to. We are scouring the internet for all the best ideas, and we're sharing it with each other and through my peer networks, and I'm going to suggest that everyone else have one also.
So you closed your stores back in March, kind of suddenly.
Yeah. I closed two stores March 19th with the which was conducive with the mayor's order because they were in the city limits, and two March 30th, which was with the governor's order.
And typically the only time you ever closed your stores was on holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. So what is involved in getting back, starting up from scratch again?
Well, you got to make sure all your systems work. So you got to make sure you boot up your computers and you test them, and you got to make sure that you have enough supplies. And yesterday my wife and I went around and picked up additional supplies because we wanted to make sure we had enough toilet paper for the staff and customers. We had enough tissue paper. We've been ordering masks at three or four different places, both on Amazon and other websites. And we did that on purpose in order to, to make sure that we were prepared. But there are certainly things that we needed to be reminded of to take care of. And we cleaned our carpets, and we sanitized the place, and we redecorated with displays. And, boy, there's a lot to do. And these weeks went by really quickly. It seemed like every day we were doing what it used to take us a week to accomplish. You know, every day was stressful. Every day was involved with discussions with bankers and landlords and discussions with our vendors. You know, our vendors are very hurt by this. And the entire shoe business, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the shoe business. It's a little bit different than the general unemployment situation. The general unemployment situation, Rob, is about 14.9% as reported yesterday by the federal government. In the shoe business, there was an article yesterday that there are 300,000 people in the U.S. involved in the shoe business, and there was an estimate that 63% of those, it's not 263, but in any case, two-thirds of the business is unemployed right now. They're either on layoff, or they're on furlough, or they're not at work. And so only one-third of work. So our unemployment rate in the shoe business is quite a lot. And the reason why is we serve customers one-on-one. In the independent segment of the business, we have one-on-one service, and we have a lot of customer service and fitting and things that we're going to change some of those procedures temporarily. But our wholesale representatives are very hurt by this. Our vendors who ship to us merchandise and now can't get paid because there's a cash crunch in all businesses. So, you know, we have a lot that we had to take care of, a lot that we had to consider, and there's issues that we're involved with that other businesses to various degrees are also involved with.
I'm sure a lot of retailers are going through what you went through. When we were discussing this yesterday, you were even telling me about having to restock your stores with petty cash.
Yeah, we went to the bank, And because we had put it in the bank, you know, as soon as it became, you know, we closed our stores. We don't want any reason for there to be anything in the stores that people might come in and try to take or whatever. But we put it in the bank. Then we had to take it back out. We had to figure out the coin. We had to carry the coin. I have a backache from carrying the coin. But we didn't stock the stores as heavy as we did before because, you know, we need to be very careful. We can't have two registers next to each other. So we're being very careful. But that was one of the things we did in addition to the tissue paper and the sanitizer and the gloves and the mask and all this stuff.
Very interesting. You know, folks, we're in a new time. This is a new normal that we're going to have to deal with, and we're figuring this out as we go along. We're coming up on about 9:45 on KVOI, The Voice. This is Back to Business with Rob and Alan. If anybody has any questions, feel free to call us at 790-2040. That's 790-2040. And we'll be back shortly after this break.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
And welcome to Back to Business with Rob Davidson and Alan McCloskey. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes.
And like I said earlier, we've been around forever and ever. I've had my agency since 1992. Alan's had his store since 1982. We've been in the community many, many years, have deep roots here. And our goal for this program is just to help Tucson business get back to business. Anything we can do to help you with your business, we're here. You can call my office at 629-9555 if you have any questions. You can go to our website, davidsonadsaz.com, if you'd like to send me an email. But anything we can do to help you, that's our goal. Yes, a minute ago, Alan was discussing the unemployment rate. The numbers came out yesterday, and I wanted to share a few things about it. Our unemployment rate in this country is now at its highest peak since the Great Depression, and it's likely an underestimate. The big picture is more than 30 million have filed for unemployment since the coronavirus lockdown started. The government said there were 20.5 million net jobs lost in April alone, but the fallout has been far from equal. Women made up a bigger share of April's job losses, 55%. That's a complete reversal from recent recessions. Usually men bear the brunt of job losses at first. America's less educated workers who are just beginning to reap the benefits of the flourishing labor market, as we've reported in the past, are losing work at about four times the rate of those with college degrees, according to the Washington Post. Black and Hispanic, Latino workers finally started to see significant wage gains over the last 2 years, and those are going to get wiped out, according to Christopher Hayes, a professor at Rutgers School of Management and Labor Relations. Between the lines, nearly four in five people who lost work said their job loss was temporary, which shores up hope that businesses might be quick to hire these workers back once the economy reopens. And that's our goal with this program: get the economy reopened, get us back to business, get people back working again. Heard a lot about the CARES Act, about the PPP program and the like that the government has come out with. Alan, why don't we discuss that a little bit? I think we've both had some experience with this.
The Paycheck Protection Program, part of the CARES Act, you've all probably heard a little bit about that. And that was a loan program that was started taking applications on the 3rd of April. And the intent was to provide funds so that the small businesses could afford to hire back their staff and can there'd be a little bit of money to pay some rent. And this would help people that are small businessmen remain in business. It's not going to be the only thing. Here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is only a small percentage of small businesses in the U.S. that are going to be helped by this program. Hopefully, most of them have already applied for the program, but the second funding will soon run out. And it's not as easy as they made it seem. So they gave you some questions, and you answer them, you fill out an application, and then you send it to your bank. And picking your bank and which bank to send it to, that became a big issue. We got funded at Allen Shoes on the second round about a little bit more than a month after the first application process. The first application process, by the time our bank got their act together, the funding had run out. The second application process, we used another bank. I'm going to mention them here because they did a great job. It's Washington Federal. And they made it very easy, and they personally took a look at pushing the loan through, and they issued this loan. And now the next thing that businesses need to do, because you need to spend that in specific ways, is you need to get funding to repair some of your other losses, because many businessmen, Rob, they had losses from operating expenses that are beyond the payroll and the rent and the mortgage interest. They had expenses from services. We have at Allen Shoes a IT firm, and we needed them to keep us up and running because we had a portion of our business, our e-commerce business, still running, and our accounting department, so to speak. So we had those expenses, and there's lots of other expenses you have, subscription services and office rent and whatever. And so you're going to need some other funding. And people think, well, you got all this money, hundreds of thousands of dollars. The average CARES loan was over $200,000. And so people might believe that that's going to repair everything. And it won't. And let me give you some statistics and give you a little illustration. So the average small business makes between 2% and 10% EBITDA, which is earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. So I'm going to average that out at 5%. So for every $100,000 the businessman did in business, they might have $5,000 of earnings. And from that earnings, and this is before, by the way, this is their normal course of business, from those earnings they had to pay interest on any debt they have. They have depreciation and replacement of assets. They have investment in the future. It might be more inventory. It might be something else. You're going to invest in people, too, as we move out of this. So there's debt service. You have some loan principal to pay back to the bank. That's outside of interest. And then you, as you're moving forward, you want to produce some profit to make back the lost sales or lost profits you had. So as we go out of this, a typical business doing, let's say, $500,000 that has a 50% gross profit margin, and they don't all have that, okay, but I'm going to use that as an example. Okay, they have $250,000 of gross profit, and you know they probably have $25,000 in earnings before taxes, they have $25,000 at 5% of their $500,000 worth of business. Well, here's the situation. If their sales drop 10% and they had a 50% gross profit margin, they just wiped out all of their net operating profit. And I'm going to tell you, the average business is going to drop more than 10%. So that's the issue here. Now, businesses operated all sorts of different formulas, from 20% gross profit all the way up to 70 or 80%. Think of your hair cutter, where they might have no real cost of goods other than some supplies, but they also have a higher payroll expense than I incur because they have personal service. There's only so many haircuts the beautician can give in an hour or the barber. So they have a different economic formula, and their ratio of when or not they're going to be not going to be making profit and they can afford to lose sales is different. And they have to consider all their savings, which most independent businesses are willing to put in all their savings. Most businesses are independent businesses are willing to put a debt instrument on their house, a note on their house, and a second mortgage. Most of them are willing to even break their retirement funds to fund their business, to rehire their staff, to do business again. Given all of that stuff, there's going to be a lot of businessmen that just cannot get back into business.
It's really going to be quite astounding to see what happens. We have a question from a caller. Charles, what can we do for you this morning? Welcome to Back to Business.
First of all, this is a really good education on what a business person thinks. I really appreciate you doing it. But what can we as consumers do to help support people getting back into business? And I'll take my answer on the radio. Thank you.
Well,
shop local. Shop at your local stores, your local retailers like Allen's, your other local retailers, the jewelry stores that are locally owned, the restaurants that are locally owned, the mechanic shops that are locally owned. That's how we can help get our business back to business. We really, really need to help out these folks, go out of our way to do business with them, even when it's hard. I know a lot of us are afraid to go out and do things, and we have to be careful when we're out in the road. But you need to really support these local folks, because if they're gone, if they go away, then it's going to be really difficult for us, because then you're going to be dealing with just major national businesses, and they're not as interested in us as our local businesses, believe me.
I would say be considerate. You know, we're all in a different position. Some of us decided to resume business as soon as we can for various reasons. We had employees and suppliers and vendors and bankers to think of, and there were a couple of people that reached out to me and complained that we were reopening, and I can't be perfect. We did the best that we could. And then today, someone reached out, Charles, and they, they told me to break a leg. They knew I was doing this radio show. Oh, that Rob's telling me that wasn't bad. Okay, I got it. Okay, we're going to wrap this up. This is Back to Business. We're going to tell you what we're all about. Back to Business with Rob and Allen. We're committed to serving you, our audience, our ideas, strategies, and techniques for marketing your business moving forward. Our business format weekly radio show, Back to Business with Rob and Allen, is about mustering up the energy, the excitement, the will, and the attitude to take the bull by the horns and get Southern Arizona business up and running again. You can find us on Facebook at Back to Business with Rob and Allen. You can find us in our businesses. You can reach Rob at 629-9555. You can go to allenshoes.com and see our website and try our Facebook page. And when you call in next time, it's 790-2440. We're on
2040. 2040.
Oh, sorry, 2040. 790-2040. It's 10:30 a.m. The Voice, KVOI, the trusted local news and talk radio station. Rob, you have anything else to take us out of this?
Yeah, I do. For all our listeners out there, if there's anything Allen and I can do for you, please reach out. Call us at our office. Call us or email us, however you would like to contact us. We're here to help you if you have any ideas on, if you just want to talk to somebody, want some advice, free advice. We're not selling anything here. The only thing we're selling is trying to help put Tucson business back in business. That's our goal, because we've all been affected by this, some of us worse than others. Thank goodness we're here. We're here and able and healthy enough to talk about this. So we really want to be a good resource for all of you out there. So remember that. Give us a call. Be sure and tune in next week, 9 to 10, for Back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
I'm Allen McCloskey, owner of Allen Shoes, 4 Tucson locations.
And we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next week on KVOI The Voice, 10:30. Thanks so much for joining us on our first show. We really appreciate your time.